Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents To Kill a King by C.S. Wilde, narrated by Tim Page and Chris Dukehart. 1. Somewhere in the Past. As an assassin for the League, Bast loved nights like this. The overcast sky blocked any shred of moonlight, drenching the forest around him in a thick penumbra. It was a great advantage for an assassin, but a bad omen for many Night Fae, since most Nightlings drew their powers from the moon. Contrary to most of his people, though, Bast's magic didn't come from the light. It came from the darkness. Le Infini Nocto Drin Wuhart, the endless night inside him. The darkness that filled his veins and his essence, the power exclusive to the royal house. Some called it a curse, others a gift, but it didn't matter in the end. Magic didn't explain itself, it simply was. Believing a moonless sky could be a bad omen was stupid. All omens were. Except this time, a grim sensation pricked Bast's chest. The kind of grievous feeling that preceded a point of no return. The same sensation that overcame him moments before he'd killed his first victim. Funny. Bast had been only 10 back then, but he'd assumed he would always remember the face of his first kill. The horror in their eyes, their screaming and crying, their futile begging. Yet 5 years later, he couldn't. Halley. Bast couldn't even remember who he'd killed last week and what they'd tried to offer in exchange for their lives. It was always the same. Wealth, favors, sex, powerful spells. None of it mattered in the end. Death couldn't be bargained with, and Bast was death. "Take your time," Leon whispered beside him as they assessed the villa, hiding behind a dense row of bushes. "Be mindful of your surroundings. Not everything is what it seems." Bast narrowed his eyes at his oldest brother. Leon had wavy hair trapped in a low pony, but a few loose curls framed his face. His eyebrows were as dark as midnight, and his skin a tone lighter than Bast's own. One could say Leon resembled father, but their eyes were different. Father's were cold and blue, Leon's warm and pink like Mom's, and where the king was brutally cruel, Bast's big brother was caring and kind. Also overprotective. A modest grin cut across Bast's lips. "I know what I'm doing. There's a stunning spell around the house, but it's weaker there." He pointed to the garden's far left. "With a shield, I could cross it without trouble. I'll be seen, obviously." He turned to the guards on the upper right, middle, and center of the roof. "But I can take them all with my blade." Which was the most fun way to kill, really? Using just as magic drained Bast's energy and slowed him down. He was much quicker, more efficient. Unstoppable, actually, with a blade. "From then on, it's about eliminating everyone inside the house," he continued, patting the sword strapped to his belt as one would pet a faithful hound. "That's what the bounty said, yes?" Leon stared at him, a mix of shock and pride running behind his rosy eyes. Yes, Bast was a youngling, but he wasn't any youngling. He was a fucking prodigy with the highest kill rate in the League. Master Raze himself said he outperformed his most experienced assassins. In fact, Bast had such a talent for bloodshed that his friends had given him a nickname. Yatuse, Deathbringer. Slowly, Leon nodded. "Yes, your plan is solid, but you don't have to go ahead with this. I've always believed you were too young to..." "Ignore him," Corvus interrupted from behind Bast. The Shig wore the same onyx battle leathers they did, the League's uniform. He leaned against a tree trunk with arms crossed behind his head, his eyes closed as if he was relaxing by the freaking beach or something. "Leon is jealous of what you can do, little Yatuse." "Little Yatuse?" Corvus was only 6 years older than him, that suket. There were 5 night princes. Leon, the big brother, literally, since he was stronger and taller than the rest of them, Benedict and Theodore, the twins, Corvus, the prick, and Bast, The perfect. Then came Stella, their half-sister, but she didn't count since their father never acknowledged her. Stella was 5, but already understood that fairies hated her for being the king's bastard and for being half-werewolf. Such a cruel thing for a 5-year-old to know. Even Bast's brothers hated her. Theodore himself often showed his dislike for the cute aberration, which meant a lot, considering he was a monk. They could hate her, though. Halle, the entire lunar insul, could hate her, as long as they knew Bast would kill anyone who dared lay a finger on his sister. In fact, that had been his first kill, the assassin father sent to kill Stella when she was just a baby. Bast had beheaded the Shig, then barged into the throne room and threw the Fae's head at father's feet, if only to send a message. It was incredible how memories could resurface out of nowhere. "Thanks for the useless input, Baku," Bast snapped at Corvus. Baku meant fool or moron, depending on the intonation, but Bast weighted the syllables equally, so it meant both. Corvus chortled, but didn't open his eyes. "Just being honest." "You're distracting him," Leon pointed out bitterly, then turned to Bast. "Focus on the mission. Father himself commissioned it, so we cannot fail." Leon and Corvus were also a part of the League of Darkness, as Father had once been, and his father before him. The twins, however, had chosen to break family tradition. Ben enjoyed the tomfoolery and endless fuckery that came with the job of being a rich prince, while Theo dedicated his life to worshipping Danu. Ironic that the two looked exactly the same, yet behaved like complete opposites. Bast frowned at Leon. "Who are we killing, by the way?" "You know better than to ask," the wrong brother replied from behind them. Bast focused on Leon. Corvus might be right, but Bast would only take Big Brother's word for it. "I have no clue," Leon admitted. "Certain bounties are so secret, we can't know who we're killing. It seems that is the case tonight." "Which is why Daddy Dearest asked the League to kill everyone in there." Corvus scrambled closer. "Well, he asked you specifically, Bast, which boggles the mind, doesn't it, to ask a child to murder at least," he narrowed his eyes at the villa, "2 fairies and 3 shifters." Bast gritted his teeth, trying to channel his anger as Master Raze had taught him. Use it in his favor. Control it before it controlled him. It was awfully hard sometimes, especially when it came to Corvus. "I may be young," Bast snarled, his tone ice and stone, "but don't forget the name I've been given." Grinning, his brother arched one silver eyebrow at him. "Aren't you a child wonder, little Yetusi?" Bast shrugged off the tease, then crouched, building momentum in his legs. "See you on the other side, Bakus." He jolted toward a tree trunk, hiding behind it, before speeding closer to the back patio. All the while, his magic enveloped him in a shield. As Bast crossed the stunning spell, he felt a light fizzling on his skin, but nothing more. "There!" one of the Fae guards on the roof shouted. The night was dark, but not enough to mask Bast. As his shield vanished, he grabbed 2 cursed daggers from his crossbelt and flung them at the fairies above him. Cutting through the guards' weak magic shields, the blades pierced their foreheads right in the middle. "If an opponent goes down, make sure they don't get up." One of the many valuable lessons Master Raze had taught him. The Fae's bodies crashed down onto the lawn with a harsh thump, their arms and legs twisting in unnatural ways. Even under the darkness of a moonless sky, Bast could discern them as Father's soldiers, knightlings with a duty to enforce Tigradian law in Lunar Insul, guided by the Night King himself. Yet these soldiers were rogues. Why did they desert? No time to figure it out. The third guard, a wolf shifter, jumped from the roof. His landing, a proper crash actually, shook the ground. Night guards aligning with wolves? Not impossible, but unlikely. Standing tall atop his hind legs, the Shig had to be at least 3 times bigger than Bast. The wolfman's claws sharpened as slobber dribbled down his jaw. Muscles bulged underneath his thick black fur. Halle, Bast grunted under his breath as the wolf joined both claws. He jumped back right before the beast wreck-balled the spot where he'd been standing not a moment before, leaving a hole on the ground. Without hesitation, Bast unsheathed his sword. The sleek blade glinted slightly, even underneath the cloudy weather. He dodged another attack from the wolfman, then swung his arm up. The blade cut across the werewolf's neck effortlessly, opening a long, bloody gash that drenched his midnight fur with red. Stepping back, the wolf gasped, slamming his hands over the wound. Shifters in general had a penchant for healing quickly, so Bast had to make sure this one wouldn't bother him again. Plunging his blade into the wolf's heart, he twisted it once before yanking it back. The shifter's eyes rolled to the back of his head, his legs caved in, and his body hit the ground with a loud thud. The massive wolf then morphed back to his human form because, well, he was dead. Turning to the bushes, Bast flipped his brothers the middle finger, even if he couldn't see them. Yet another of Master Race's teachings invaded his thoughts. Do not rest until the deed is done. Good advice, as always. Bast faced the villa, and a sphere of darkness shot from his hand toward the glassed patio doors, shattering them into a million pieces. He stepped inside. The place was eerily quiet, but Bast was called Yatuse for a reason. His shadows and stars were stronger than his vision, so he closed his eyes. A dim presence reverberated against his magic. It came from the top of the stairs where a werewolf waited for him. Bast could feel him stamped to his darkness. The beast had the high ground, so Bast couldn't go to him. Instead, he shot a blast of magic upwards, and it pierced the floor next to the wolf. A fair warning. Growling, the wolfman jumped to the base of the stairs, and another shifter, this time a leopard, joined from the living room. Two giant, bloodthirsty beasts, ready to rip him in two. Bast didn't panic, but he did fear. As Master Reyes said, a fey without fear was a fool, but a fey in panic was dead. Concentrating on the advantages he faced, he took a deep breath. Bast was smaller than they were, which made him faster. Also, he had a shitload of magic. This battle was as good as won. He lunged forward. So did the beasts. Dodge, turn, pierce, slash. As it turned out, he didn't need to use magic. His blade had been enough, as usual. Falling limply onto the floor, the shifter's bodies started to change back to their human forms, sticky red pooling underneath them. In the stillness of the night, Bast heard whimpering coming from a room on the second floor. This seemed to be the remaining presence in the house, the last kill. Gingerly going up the stairs, he avoided the hole his darkness had pierced on the second floor. Stifled cries came from behind a white door, and Bast couldn't tell why dread filled him as he turned the door handle. He had ended lives before, both innocent and guilty. Mothers, fathers, daughters and sons, brothers and sisters, all for the League. Yatuse didn't care about the bounty's past, only their inevitable end. So why did he hesitate now? Opening the door, Bast gasped, his lungs failing him. Idyllia? Father's mistress took him in, her black eyes filled with shock as she put down the knife she was holding. Bast? Why are you here? Looking around, panic set deep into his chest, and Master Ray's teachings vanished from his mind. Where's Stella? Is she all right? Recognizing his voice, his half-sister burst out of a closed cabinet and wrapped her tiny arms around his legs. Bestie! Bestie! She cheered, giggling with a pure happiness inherent of small children.
Bad manies are after us, but they can't beat you. We're safe.
Bast's throat became awfully tight. He was the bad manny. Sheathing his sword, he placed a hand over her head. Of course you're safe. Tears pricked his eyes as he turned to Idyllia. Father wants you and Stella dead. She scratched the back of her neck.
Not exactly old news.
I know, but he left you alone after I killed the assassin he hired. Bast figured that joining the League and throwing an assassin's head at Father's feet would have done the trick. Apparently he was wrong. But what had changed? And more importantly, why did he demand Bast kill them? He knew why, of course. That sick Malachi would call it a show of faith. Everything was a show of faith when it came to that prick.
"I want to leave Lunar Insul," Idelia stated. "Stella and I can be happy in my home borough, Lycani, but your father doesn't want his shame to be known beyond the island. His pride is too great."
A certain hurt took over Bast. "I've always protected you both, and you've always been well cared for in Lunar Insul. Why would you take my sister away without telling me?" Shame flickered in her eyes.
"It's not that. You pay for our food, our home, Stella's private lessons, all with the money from your bounties. It's a heavy burden for a child."
"If I'm old enough to kill, then I'm old enough to be considered an adult," Bast snapped.
"Fair enough," she raised her hands. "But growing up here, Stella will always know hate. I don't want that for her."
Chest tight, he looked down at his little sister, who buried her face in his legs. Yes, he loved her. Yes, he wanted her nearby, but he also wanted what was best for her, and Idelia wasn't entirely wrong.
"Sometimes loving someone means letting them go," the wolf woman quietly added.
Bast tapped Stella's head, and she stared up at him with big blue eyes incredibly similar to his own. Big baby eyes filled with tears. "You up for this?" he asked. Stella nodded shakily.
"I don't want to leave you, bestie."
Forcing a smile, he caressed her chin. "Everything will be fine, baby sis." He turned to Idelia. "I'll figure something out, I promise. But don't take my sister away from me. She's the only thing..." His voice failed him. "If you stay, Father won't try to kill you and Stella. So stay. Please." Sighing, Idelia stepped forward and put a hand on his shoulder.
"Staying isn't the best for her. Here, she'll always be a best..."
"Don't!"
"Say it, bestie,"
Stella mumbled, tears in her voice.
"I'm a best..."
"Quiet!" he snapped, knowing Stella didn't understand the weight of the word, the trouble it entailed, especially in Lunar Insul, where adultery used to be a crime punishable by death, usually of the female and child. Thank the unification for banishing that. "Give me a couple of days. With any luck, Father will recognize Stella as his own." It would be impossible, but Bast had to find a way, otherwise he'd lose his sister.
"Don't lie to them, Sebastian."
Corvus's voice rang from an empty spot near Idelia. He must have used an invisibility spell. Bast didn't have time to react. His brother had already appeared out of thin air behind Idelia and slashed her throat. Gasping, Stella's mother stared at Bast as she stumbled back, collapsing on the wooden floor. Fur instantly began to spread atop her skin, since shifters healed quicker in their beastly form.
"Step away from her!"
Bast bellowed as Stella's screams swallowed the space. She pushed against her brother's legs, attempting to run toward her mother, but Bast kept a tight grip on her. He wouldn't let her get close to Corvus.
"Save Mommy!"
she howled. But Bast couldn't help Idelia and protect Stella at the same time. Keeping his focus locked on Bast, Corvus bent down and slammed his sword into Idelia's chest, twisting the blade just like Bast had done to the shifter guard. The sound of meat being slashed wasn't new to him, but this time it clawed at his ears and ripped his soul. Idelia stopped moving, and the fur retreated into her skin.
"Mommy!"
Stella fell to her knees.
"Mommy, no!"
"I will fucking end you, Corvus!" Bast gnarled through gritted teeth, his fangs sharpening and his darkness filling him up to his head.
"I did you a favor, little brother."
Taking a cloth from his belt pouch, Corvus cleaned the blade.
"Now you can keep your bastard sister. You should be thanking me."
"The sick shig!"
Heart-wrenching sobs escaped Stella while she crouched on the floor, her wailing piercing Bast's chest.
"You killed her mother in front of her!"
A storm of night and stars bloomed from Bast's body, black lightning crackling around him, making the walls shake.
"She's just a child!"
"So were you when you murdered an assassin to save her."
Corvus observed his brother's crackling magic without any interest.
"I'm not scared of your wrath."
"Burn in Danu's hells!"
Bast snapped, unsheathing his sword. He pulled Stella to her feet, pushing her against his left leg, his grip tight on her. Corvus studied Stella's little, sobbing form.
Whether you want to face it or not, your sister is living on borrowed time.
Enough, Leon shouted from the door.
Fuck, Bast had forgotten to guard his back.
Leon had been kind enough not to attack, and Bast appreciated the show of mercy, but he slammed his spine against the wall nonetheless. His cloud of night aimed at Corvus while his blade pointed at Leon. Big Brother watched him closely.
You may be Yatusi, but you do realize you can't take us both, yes? We're trained assassins.
Fucking try me, Bast barked, holding Stella fiercely to him. Leon shook his head.
Father gave us a mission.
And you're finishing it over my dead body.
You've always loved Stella more than your own blood. A certain bitterness coated Leon's tone. Why?
Burning tears streamed down Bast's cheeks as he realized he might defeat Corvus and Leon, but not in time to save Stella. Her death would render this entire fight pointless, his entire life too. He was so screwed.
She is our blood. She's better than all of us.
His voice cracked, fear once again turning into panic. Master Reyes would be so disappointed.
Bad evil princes, Stella cried,
but was smart enough to stay close to Bast. With a heavy sigh, Leon rubbed the bridge of his nose.
Father hoped you'd follow through. I suppose since the mother is dead, the child won't go to the continent. I don't want your hate, brother, so I propose we consider the matter settled.
How will you convince Father? Corvus asked him. He wanted them both dead.
I'll find a way.
There you go, stealing all the fun as you always do, the prick grumbled, shaking his head.
Leon sighed in exasperation.
Why are you always such an asshole, Corvus?
Because it's fun, brother.
So it's agreed, Bast interrupted, still wielding his sword at Leon and his knight at Corvus. Stella may live.
Father will be furious, Corvus warned.
Well, he wasn't wrong.
If you weren't Master Ray's best assassin and under the League's protection, Leon said carefully, the king would have killed you a long time ago for defying him. Nevertheless, he will disown you for this, rest assured.
If he doesn't banish you from the island, Corvus added.
He won't, Leon countered in a threatening manner. Our brother will remain in Lunar Insol, so will his sister. He simply won't live in the castle with us anymore. Knowing Father, that should sort the matter, at least for now.
Still sobbing, Stella watched her mother's lifeless body.
Mommy.
Don't look, baby sis.
Bast put a hand over her eyes before facing Big Brother.
So be it. I never cared about the throne.
I know. Leon nodded to Idelia's body.
Remember, Bast, the moment you leave the League, you're on your own, and no one, not even I, will be able to protect you.
2. Mira closed her eyes and listened to the ship's hull breaking through the waves below. A warm, giddy joy spread in her chest as she imagined herself down there, underneath the hull, dashing across the ocean. Utterly careless. Utterly free. It was a beautiful dream, but a dream nonetheless. When she opened her eyes, her fingers dug deeper into the Nightbringer's metallic railing. Being aboard a war vessel designed to kill schools of waterbreakers was a cruel irony. Mara had once feared these spiked, dark metal ships when she was little. Now she was aboard one. She didn't have a choice, really. Sailing was the only way to Lunar Insol, the Night Fae Island. Bast could have flown them, but they were carrying 3 sets of luggage with the basics, plus some necessary equipment. Also, before she could have asked him, he'd claimed, "I'm not a beast of burden, kitten." So there she was, aboard a freaking Nightbringer. The point of a warship sailing on safe waters was lost on her. No mermaid could ever cross the Forbidden Zone and survive to tell the tale. Unless they were the waterbreaker who impregnated Sarah Hyland. The male called Poseidon, a siren with a god complex who had overcome the magic within these waters, the magic that should have consumed his flesh, bones, and all that he was, yet he'd survived it. Same as Mara. Someone approached her from the right, but she didn't face him. Maybe if she ignored the dickwart's presence, he would go away. You think you're punishing me with your silent treatment? Bast taunted playfully. But I find it cute. She turned to him, and Poseidon in the trenches she shouldn't have. The wind tousled loose threads from his messy bun, his moon-silver hair resembling either silk or spiderwebs. Bast's face was made of perfectly straight lines, his smirk creating charming dimples on his cheeks. To top it all off, the setting sun drenched him in a mix of pink and orange, turning the male into a freaking painting. Without meaning to, Mara blushed. Damn her traitorous body. I'm not giving you the cold shoulder, she lied, her legs feeling awfully weak. With that, Mara leaned over the railing and stared at the ocean, mostly to avoid losing herself in the living magnet called Sebastian Day. Beauty should be admired. Her siren sang with a chipper tune. Ignoring that horny bastard, Mara studied her own hands. I don't trust you to do the right thing, Bast. It's shitty to say that about my partner, isn't it? Sadness and anger created a strange mix in her chest. You killed everyone. If an opponent goes down, make sure they don't get up. He countered absently. That might have worked for an assassin, but you've been a Hollowcliff detective for a while now. Bast had told her the truth once he'd been cleared for duty, a few days after the massacre at the Summer King's penthouse. At first, Mara couldn't believe Tir na n'og police had hired a former assassin as a detective, but she confronted Captain Ashrath after Bast insisted on it. The red-haired Fae had merely answered, Bast is my best detective, and he's been atoning for his sins. Do cut him some slack, as you humans say. So that was that. Glaring at her, a muscle ticked in her partner's jaw. If I didn't know I'm a detective and not an assassin, my arrest rate wouldn't be the best in Tir na n'og, would it? But those fairies, if they spoke about you, it would have been your death sentence. I was perfectly aware of that when I made my choice. So was I. He ran a hand over his hair, nearly undoing his bun. I'm sorry if I'm not as selfless or as righteous as you are, but my partner's life was in danger and I did what I had to do. Mara opened her lips, yet found no good comeback. She tried, though, searching her mind as she kept there, her mouth half open and a frown on her forehead, but it was useless. Sakala me, he cursed under his breath as he hunched over the railing. I didn't ask you to trust me. Our captains did. So you better do your job, Detective Maria, and let me worry about my actions. Her siren licked her lips. Oh, angry Bast is a thing to behold. Mara rolled her eyes. She hated disappointing her siren. Not, but fighting with her partner would take them nowhere. Your intentions were noble, she begrudgingly admitted. The execution was the problem, pun intended. I don't care. He raised a challenging eyebrow at her. If I'm so terrible, why didn't you tell your captain? Why am I not behind iron bars right now? Many reasons, she pondered. I guess I didn't want to see you in jail for protecting me. It didn't seem fair. A grin hooked on the left side of his cheek, but she immediately raised a warning finger at him. Just don't go berserk and kill a bunch of people again, okay? Bast's scorching blue eyes fixed on her as he stepped closer. So long as they're no threat to you, fine. I'm not a damsel in distress, Mara snapped, hating the flutter in her stomach that increased with his proximity. We're here to protect and serve. Remember that. Always. Bast winked at her, then nodded over his shoulder toward the ship's faraway destination, where a patch of land the size of a thumb rose from the sea. So, are we in this together? Do I have a choice? His laughter engulfed her, as if Mara had told him a funny joke. Not really. Captain Ashrath shouldn't have put Bast on this case. After all, he was the potential victim's son. However, he was the only knightling in the Tir na n'og precinct, which made him the most qualified fairy to do this, and also the worst possible choice. Ashrath did ask her to keep him safe, not that Sebastian Day needed any help with that. Suddenly, his hands lifted to touch her face, but Mara instinctively stepped back. What are you doing? A certain hurt flashed behind his eyes, but could he blame her for being on her guard around him? Bast was a trained assassin, and also her partner. Ugh, Working with him wasn't going to be easy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?